I am Kate, and I'm a compulsive overeater in California. I'm going to tell a little bit of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now for me. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about slogans, which is the topic I throw out to you as well, is to think about the slogans I share or any other slogan connected with this program that has meaning for you. Of course, share whatever you need to share for your recovery. I've always been a compulsive overeater. Some of my earliest memories were being pissed off at my sisters because they were eating stuff I wanted. We were not poor, there was more than enough, but I wanted it all. If it was junk food, I used to sneak down early in the morning, take up boxes and bags and whatever up to my room to binge on. I had a friend in program who said he sat down in front of the television with a box, a bag, and a gallon of something, and he didn't get up for 30 years. That's pretty much who I was. By the time I was approaching adolescence, I hated myself. I absolutely hated myself. I believed I was ugly and unlovable and swollen looking. And looking back at pictures now, I was not any of those things, but that's what I believed about me. I think the self-loathing that comes with this disease is maybe the worst part of it. And it's the worst part of it because so many of us don't realize it's part of the disease and it doesn't represent who we are. By adolescence, as a teen, I was attempting to diet all the time. I remember my father talking to me because I was binging on diet soda. The amount of caffeine was over the top. And he said, "Are you sure you're okay doing this?" I knew what I was doing and I told him that. Well, of course I didn't, but I've always known what I was doing. That's how I ended up here. I tried all the diets, absolutely all the diets. When I got to be late teens, early 20s, I would try whatever commercial diet looked promising. Now, it always took me a couple of years to work up to a diet. So every night was a Last Supper. Every night was a huge binge because the next day, either on my own or with the help of some organization that I was paying, I was going to be different. I was going to be different. I was going to be thin and beautiful and smart and successful and beloved. Didn't work out. I would start a commercial diet. I had no patience with it. I didn't like not eating my binge foods. And so I would cut the amount of food I was eating. I wouldn't follow the diet. I'd cut. So I was under eating. And the moment I got anywhere near a weight I thought was okay, I'd declare it done, knowing I would never gain weight again, and I would start binging. I remember someone who was dear to me sitting opposite me watching me eat on the day I stopped to diet saying, "Do you know what you're doing to yourself?" No, I said, "It's fine. It'll be fine." I like fine. Did you know that fine is a slogan? Fucked up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. It's one of my favorites. I came into program because of several things that all piled up on me. It was the last house on the block. I had a small child. When he was an infant, I'd of course gained weight during the pregnancy. And while I was nursing him afterwards, I stopped eating except for binge food once a day. That's insanity. When he was 3 years old, I yelled at him outside in front of a bakery because he wouldn't go in with me to get a treat. He was my cover. And I was at the point of moving into a new area. And of course, my biggest fear was that people who didn't know me would see me blow up. Not blow up angry, but blow up fat. I'm so glad for step two. Came to believe in a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity. By coming into program, this stopped being up to me. I was desperate. I didn't want to be here. The first time I sat in the parking lot, I didn't come into the meeting. The second meeting, I came in and I listened, and they said I needed a sponsor. So I asked somebody in the meeting who understood abstinence. And the first time I talked to her on the phone, she asked, "Were there foods I couldn't handle?" I told her what they were. She said, "Good, you don't have to eat these today. I'm not your higher power, but your higher power heard you. Now go have a good day, but I want you to be grateful for every gift you see in your path." And I was that desperate that I spent the day being grateful for every gift I saw in my path. Now, of course, mid-morning, I thought my head would explode and I would keel over because I wasn't eating the junk I usually ate then. But I remembered another friend in program saying that she'd called her sponsor when she thought she was going to faint. And the sponsor said, "Let's give it 15 minutes," and hung up. And she didn't faint. And my head did not explode. And that day went by without my having to eat the foods I couldn't handle. I'm really keen on sponsors. I've had a series of lovely, lovely women being my sponsor. I work this program because I will always have the disease of more. I will always want more. That's okay. That's not the worst thing about me. I mean, it's okay that I have this disease. I came by it honestly, however you honestly get this. And that's okay. But I do need to work this program a day at a time. I go to meetings each week. I have a sponsor. That changes sometimes, but I always have a sponsor, and I sponsor others because this keeps the program alive for me. And it's not that the program gets too boring. It's that complacency and denial are not my friends. If I believe I can do this by myself, if I forget that I have this disease, I'm screwed. I've watched people in my family die young because of this. I don't want to. Now, actually, I'm too old to die young. This coming year, I'll be 70, and in January, I celebrate 37 years in program. I am very, very lucky, and it looks like I've spent more than half my life here. I was in my early 30s, and now I'm going to be 70. Lucky me. Lucky me. So, what about these slogans? The reason I picked slogans I want to talk about today is this whole murky area around holidays I really don't like. I like my regular life, I like routine. And there's been a lot of loss in my life, and this year there was another one. And so I find this time difficult. So I go for simple. Keep it simple. Slogans are simple. They spoke to me when I first came in. If they hadn't, I wouldn't have come back. I'm so glad that this program can start helping us from the first day. My experience of getting abstinent the first day is unusual. Most people, it takes longer. Whatever it takes what it takes. There's another one. It takes what it takes. We keep coming back. We keep coming back. Why? Because this works, and because this is the last house on the block. There are no magic wands. And the easiest way out is through. Now, when I came in, and it was that difficult not eating binge foods all the time, I made up a little mantra using four slogans for myself. Easy does it. Let go and let God. Live and let live a day at a time. Don't you feel just calmer healing hearing those? Easy does it. Let go and let God. Live and let live a day at a time. Oh, I love that. And it makes me feel connected to my higher power. This business of working the steps with the help of a sponsor, that way I find a higher power I can work with. My higher power is always with me, knows more than I do, and has a sense of humor. Always with me, knows more than I do, and has a sense of humor. You are welcome to borrow mine anytime you want. A higher power loves. It doesn't attack. It doesn't shame. It loves. And thank goodness we're in a program that does not undermine other philosophies, other religions, other whatever. So there's nothing to argue about. Ooh, here's some slogans. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Isn't that obnoxious? If nothing changes, nothing changes. Well, showing up at a meeting is changing things. Getting a sponsor is changing things. Making a phone call, and it still frightens me to call somebody I don't know. And you would think after this time, but it does. It changes things. It cracks open a door. I believe all the tools of this program exist to crack that door. When I came into program, we were using AA literature. I'm glad we've got our own now. But the AA third step talks about the third step as cracking the door so our higher power can get in. And that's what every single tool does. Literature, phone calls, sponsorship, meetings, it's all cracking the door so a higher power has a chance to help. I can start a day over anytime. I can start a day over anytime. And this is not just about food. So let's say I ate more for breakfast than I intended. Well, to hell in a handbasket, maybe the new year, maybe 2026, or, I ate more than I intended for breakfast, but I know what I'm going to eat for lunch, and I'm turning that over to my higher power. More often, I find that my attitude or my stinking thinking or just a general gloom is something that I can start over. I love that I can work on that and go, okay, that stinks. I think I'm going to start the day over, go take a walk or something to get me out of my way. Because my disease is doing push-ups in the corner. My disease is doing push-ups in a corner. I'm not immune because I've been around so long. I have an addict brain. Again, I can live with an addict brain, but if I forget it's there, it'll lie to me. I'm grateful that foods I can't handle don't usually call to me, but if they do, I ask for help. There's situations that make me uncomfortable. I ask for help. I make a plan. One day at a time. This is the only day I've got to work my program. I was very good at big fantasies about how I would be tomorrow, right? Because tomorrow was always going to be the perfect diet and I was going to be the perfect person. But I've only got today, which actually makes it much easier and a challenge. So for today, I'm abstinent. For today, I know what I'm eating. For today, I've made a phone call. For today, I'm here and was very grateful to be asked. There used to be a slogan, stick with the winners, which was so obnoxious. And then I had a sponsor who spoke to me and said that she'd hated that slogan, so she changed it to win with the stickers. Win with the stickers. So keep coming back no matter what, right? And the other part of that is as I'm listening to people share, or I'm asking someone to be my sponsor, to listen with an open mind and a serious attitude. Because if something has worked for someone else, if they're abstinent, this may well work for me. I don't have to adopt their political party, join their religion, or take on their color scheme. But I may find that they will share the perfect thing for me to know. When I was in program for 6 years, my sponsor, who had 10 years of abstinence, left program in a great ball of fire with her best friend, burning a lot of bridges. It didn't go well for either one of them in terms of recovery from our disease, and it scared the willies out of me. And so I looked around, who's going to sponsor me now? And I asked a woman with a lot of years and asked her, I said, why are you still here? Because you see, I had a chip now on my shoulder. This wasn't going to work. Why are you still here? And she said, I don't know, but maybe you can watch and see, and you can tell me. The answer was honesty. She was honest about what was challenging in her life. She was honest when she had to work hard to stay within a plan of eating. She was honest when she was mad or sad. And she was very kind. She was my sponsor for 25 years, and we are still good friends. Mostly, she taught me about how to be with myself, to act in a way that was imperfect integrity. But if I'm honest about food, if I'm honest about the other things in my life that are challenging, and you just don't live as an adult without it being wicked challenging, I'll be okay. And I'll be able to work my program. Abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception. Abstinence has never required that I like throw the baby out the window. Without exception means to me, and I love the argument in literature about, but what about God? I think they go hand in hand. Food makes a lousy God. Lousy God lasts a moment and is totally unavailable, and then it starts that self-loathing again. So, abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception. What horrible things is it going to require me to do? Well, this week, my husband was making a special meal for us. He tends to take his time. He gets creative. It could be hours before the meal showed up. And I walked into the kitchen and said, I'm sorry, I'm going to need to eat in half an hour. I can't wait hours and hours beyond a meal time. That's asking too much of me, of me. And he got it. And we amended the meal so that it could finish up sooner. I would have liked to give him the time to be wildly creative, but it wasn't going to work for me around my abstinence. And progress, not perfection. I don't know what perfect looks like and how to work the steps and how to be a sponsor and how to be a sponsee and how to be with other people. I don't know what perfect looks like, but my brain will still try to convince me that I do. Now, progress, I know what that looks like. And it happens every single day. One of the gifts of sponsorship, of being a sponsor, is listening to other people make the most phenomenal progress and reflecting that back to them.
Excuse me,
Because
that's
that's what we
15
do.
minutes.
Thank you very much. Because that's what we do in program. We reflect back the amazing progress we hear in others. It's another reason to keep coming back, even if one feels it's not perfect for oneself. Keep listening. We hear our own stories, and we are those stories then. That is enough out of me today, and I hope that you are thinking slogans or that you share whatever you need for your recovery. Thank you so much for asking me to be here today, Anne.